Good evening. I'm glad to be here this afternoon. I'm not the preacher if you're visiting here. I'm not the preacher. The preacher is out of town. He's at his son's tennis tournament. I guess tennis is a pretty big thing in Alabama and Georgia where I'm from. You don't really hear much about tennis. So I'm still kind of getting used to that as far as that goes. But to the mothers, happy Mother's Day. I was really blessed. I got to have my mom here this morning. It's not often I get to see her anymore, so it's always a good time when she's in town. She brought my dad. It was all right. Anyways, thank y'all for laughing. Anyways, when I was thinking about the sermon topic, me and Chris had some communication issues. I don't know if it was on my part, on his part, both of our parts, but I thought I was speaking next Sunday night. And then this morning at the 6:15 service, he made sure I knew that I was speaking tonight. So I was really happy because it's senior night, or that we're recognizing the seniors for graduating. Seniors are really proud of y'all. Y'all finally graduated high school. Me and Chris are ecstatic, and we pray for you every single day, and we're excited about that. But tonight's lesson is on three ways to fail and succeed at everything in life. Now, before someone comes up to me after, I know there are more than just three ways, but we're just going to look at three ways that you can fail and you can succeed in life. We're going to look at the failures, and then right after that, we're going to look at the ways that you can kind of overcome that, or the other ways to look at it. I wanted something that would help the seniors that are graduating. They're about to start a new journey in life and go off to college, but something that's always beneficial for the entire congregation as well. Three ways to fail. One, blame others for your problems. Number two is complain about everything. And number three is not be grateful. And then the three ways to succeed. Take responsibility, encourage everyone, and be thankful. Blame others for your problems. I'm very good at that. If something bad happens, it's never my fault somehow. It's always like the people around me, it's always their fault. It's never, oh, I had a bad day, or I got angry while driving. It's not the people around me it's not me that's angry. It's the people around me that caused me to be angry. Therefore, it must be their fault. But we're going to look at some of those. Anger. I'm terribly sorry. This is extremely small. Anger. I wouldn't lose my temper if my coworkers were easier to get along with, or if my kids behaved better, or if my spouse were more considerate. That's one of the ways. I wrote down some different things that we struggle with and just some excuses that we kind of make for them. Impatience. I would be a very patient person if there weren't for traffic jams and long lines at the grocery store. I still don't understand why Walmart only has four lines open. That's beside the point. Self-pity. I'll never be happy because my marriage or my family or my job or my ministry is so difficult, or things just aren't going my way in those certain areas, so I just can't be happy. And then number four, and the last one that I've thrown up here, is selfishness. I would be more generous if we had more money. We see these things, and we make excuses for these things that we see, but these aren't good excuses. These aren't things that solve the problem. It's just things that kind of go against your conscience, that kind of make you feel better about it, that you're angry, that I have really bad road rage sometimes when people drive slow in the fast lane. And I just get so angry about it, and it's always their fault. It's always the slow driver's fault that's just driving extremely slow in the fast lane. I don't know why they're driving over here, but just get over it, and I get mad. And instead of me stepping up and saying, hey, that's my problem, I blame it on them. I blame it on the person that I have no idea who they are. I have no idea why they're driving in this lane. I don't know where they're going. I don't know where they came from. But instead of me swallowing my pride and saying, hey, this is my fault, I shouldn't be angry over it, it turns into their fault. And you can do that for all these. They're bad excuses that we have for problems that we see, or when we blame others. Take responsibility. That's the good thing. That's the way to succeed in life. And with taking responsibility, you have the story of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. Please turn with me there. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. I'm going to go ahead and read a good part of it. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave five talents. To another one he gave two. And to another one he gave one. And you know how the story goes. They go out, and the guy with five talents, he used it in a good way, and he gained five more talents from it. He put it to good use, and he gained five more. The guy that had two, he went out, he put his talents to good use, and he gained two more. Each of those doubled in their talents. And then the guy with the single talent, you look down, in verse 19. We'll look at 24. He also had received the one talent, came forward saying, "Master, I knew you would be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground." He had that one talent, and he was scared to do anything with it because of what his master does. He made an excuse for why he didn't put that talent to good use instead of owning up to his problems and kind of dealing with it. On Wednesday nights with the youth group, we're talking about tough choices. And every single Wednesday, I talk about how you have a choice to make every single day. You have multiple choices to make every single day. But with each choice that you make come consequences. If you make a good choice, most likely a good consequence will come out of it. If you make a bad choice, most likely a bad consequence will come out of it. But no matter what the choice is, no matter what you choose to do in your life, you have to take responsibility for it. That's how it goes. We continue. We see that the responsibility from the two servants who doubled their talents, we see that they were responsible with what they were given. And then we see the servant who buried his one talent and then made an excuse for why he didn't gain any more talents from that. The second thing you can do in order to fail at life is complain about everything. My parents were here, like I said, this weekend. And I said something about Freed Hardeman while I was at Julia's graduation. I was like, you know, I'm excited to get out of here. You know, I won't be back for a while, and I'm happy about it. The usual, like, you just got done with college, you don't want to go back. And they turned it into, I'm not a happy person, which I like to think I'm very happy. So for the rest of the weekend, I'd go out and like, Mom, you know what? That just makes me extremely happy. And this, at every moment I had, I'd be like, Mom, you know, this is just really happy. We went to Dairy Queen, I got a blizzard. I said, Mom, this blizzard makes me extremely happy. I'm just glad that you bought this for me. Thank you so much. I'm just very happy. So I was, I guess, over happy with it. But I got to thinking about it, and my dad was talking to me. They have these like life lessons, and that's what they're trying to teach me, was to just to be more happy, to show my emotions more. I feel like I'm kind of a wuss when I like show my emotions. I like, might cry at a movie or something. I'm like, I don't want to do that, so I hide my emotions. And they're saying, you know, you need to show them a little bit more. And he was talking about a character, and I don't remember what it is, but it might have been the Flintstones or somewhere, where the guy's always kind of negative. And he always has that like cloud over him, and he's just always walking down the street, and it's always raining on him. And that's what I think about when you complain about everything. You're just looking at the bad side of life, and it's just constantly raining on you. But not only is it raining on you, it's raining on those around you. It might not be directly raining on them, but that rain's kind of splashing off and hitting the people around you. And Numbers 11, and please turn with me there as well. Numbers 11, the title in my Bible is "The People Complain." And starting in verse 1, it says, "And the people complained in their hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of the place that was called Tabertha, because of the fire of the Lord burnt among them." And kind of going with that, they complained about the journey that they were on. They weren't used to this journey in this Bible passage. They weren't used to walking long hours. They weren't used to having, the abundance of food that they usually have. And they're just kind of out of their comfort system. So they started complaining. They started complaining that, you know, it wasn't like it was back home. Why did we have to leave? Because back home was so much better. But they didn't see the big picture of where they were going. And then from that, God was displeased with their complaining. Encourage everyone. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as in good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And the last one, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers all multitude of sin. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. I chose these three verses just to kind of tell us that the Bible calls us to be encouragers. The Bible calls us to lift people up. We go throughout the day, like I said, about the driver that's driving slow in the fast lane. And I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's coming from. I don't know where he's going. He could be having a bad day. There could be a lot on his mind that I don't even think about. And yet I'm going to get mad. Instead of wanting to be encouraging and just kind of swallow my pride and just kind of get over and go around him, I'm going to sit behind them and be mad. And that's not what it's saying. It's saying be encouragers for one another. Build one another up. And that's what us as Christians are called to do, is to build one another up. In the same class on Wednesday nights, along with the middle school class on Sunday mornings, we've been talking a lot about building others up. Especially in the middle school class, we talked about building others up that are hurt, and ways to do that. And the middle schoolers have such good answers. And it's always funny to listen to what they say. But then every now and then there's like an answer that sticks. And the simple answer is just be nice. And it's something that's that simple. Be nice to one another and it'll build them up. Niceness goes a long way. People notice when you are nice. And it goes from that. And the last one's not being grateful. And then I also added be thankful. I put them both in the same category. Please turn to me, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifting up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they went and they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to them, "Rise and go away. Your faith made you well." And some manuscripts say that your faith has saved you. He had leprosy. He was seen as unclean in his society, and Jesus healed him. He heals 10 of them, 10 lepers that are stuck outside the city. They can't get near anyone, and he heals them. And they all go back. They go to the priest. They have to show the priest that they're clean. And he noticed that he's clean, and immediately he turned around and went and thanked Jesus. He praised God in these situations, and Jesus notices it and said, "Well, didn't I save 10 of you?" Because only one came back and thanked him. In the middle school class, we talk a lot about the mountaintops and the valleys that you get in life, and just kind of the ruts that you go in life. And when you're stuck in that valley, you tend to pray a lot. You tend to pray. When you're just down on your luck, you pray a lot more. And you pray for that job. You pray for that good grade on a test. You pray for the certain family member. You pray for all these things. When life struggles hits you, and then when you get back on the mountaintop, a lot of people often forget that they prayed so much to get there. They forget to thank God once they get there. That all these bad things happen, and you're just praying that you can catch a break. And then once it happens, you forget who helped you get there. And that's what you kind of see here. You see the 10 lepers, they're healed, and only one comes back. That's not a good probability. That's only 1 out of 10. That's not 500. You're hitting 100 in baseball with those odds. That's not going to get you into the MLB. Sorry, guys. but only one of them showed up out of the 10. And we see one of the 10 return to thank Jesus, and he is told that his faith has made him well, or saved him, or it also saved him in some manuscripts. And that's what we often forget, is to praise God when the good things happen, because we always praise God when the bad things are happening. I was wanting to keep this lesson a little short so we can get to our seniors and have our little party and kind of recognize them. They've worked really hard. They're really good kids. If y'all haven't gotten to know them, please stay after for a moment and just get to know them, get to talk to them, and you'll realize what kind of kids we have here at Flint. I was really excited because I got to speak tonight, and I knew that we were recognizing them, and they're really good kids, and they're servants of God, and they always look to do the next thing. They don't have to be told what to do. They're always looking to see what can be done next. And I love that about all of them. And it's not just the seniors, it's the entire group as well. I just want all of y'all to know that I'm proud of you. Y'all do a really good job. And the parents, y'all have raised them correctly. They're really good kids. They're well-behaved, most of them. We have some questions that are iffy on if like they should have actually asked it or not. But that's what makes it fun. I've really enjoyed getting to be the youth minister of them. But they're doing really good. But to sum it up, three ways to succeed in life. Once again, I know there are more than three ways, but take responsibility. Own up to the choices that you make, and you'll end up going farther in life. Encourage everyone. Don't be the negative person that's getting the rain on other people, but be the sunshine in everyone else's life that dries up all the badness around you, that dries up the rain around you. And lastly, be thankful. You're alive, you're here, you're worshiping God. You have a good family, you have people all around you that love you. And this is for everyone, just be thankful for what you have. We're extremely blessed. But at this time, if you have not been baptized and you want to become part of the Lord's church and you want to go into the water and come out a Christian, or if you've already been baptized and you're just struggling, you're really negative, or you're just not being the Christian that you need to be, or you're failing at the three ways that are mentioned in life and you need prayers of the congregation or just prayers in general, now's the time as you come forward and we stand and sing.